Iran's foreign minister says Tehran has responded to Israel right inside Tel Aviv whenever it has decided to. Russia says it has taken control of Ukraine's last stronghold in eastern Luhansk province as a series of deadly blasts hit a Russian city on the border. North Korea says the US only wants to attain military supremacy over the Asia-Pacific by hyping up threats posed by Pyongyang. Hello and welcome to World News. Syria's president has hailed Iran as part of the solution to problems in the region as he meets Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, in Damascus. Bashar al-Assad said collective regional efforts are needed to resolve problems in the region, noting Damascus would welcome any solution that would keep Syria away from war. The Iranian minister, for his part, condemned Israeli violations of Syria's territorial integrity. He said the silence of Western countries, which claim to advocate human rights, exposes their double standards. Regarding Turkey's plan to launch a military operation inside Syria, Amir Abdollahian said Iran understands Turkey's security concerns, but opposes any form of military action in the Arab country.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has met Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. They discussed cooperation relations in which Assad described ties between both states as an alliance of will in the face of Western hegemony. During the meeting, the Syrian president touched upon the threats of Turkey to launch a new offensive in Syria. Assad said Turkish pretexts for an aggression on Syria are false, misleading, and disconnected from reality, stressing that they violate the UN Charter and international law. Amir Abdollahian said Assad's recent visit to Tehran constituted a turning point in Syrian-Iranian relations. He added that Israeli attacks on Syria are part of the terrorist war on the country. The top Iranian official noted that Iran is ready to help settle misunderstandings between Damascus and Ankara.
Any foreign intervention in Syria complicates the situation. We understand Turkish concerns over border issues. The solution lies in dialogue between Syrian and Turkish security officials. I understand from my talks with the Turks that they prioritize a political solution.
Amir Abdollahian also had a separate meeting with his Syrian counterpart Faisal al-Maqdad. He expressed optimism over solving the Turkish-Syrian conflict peacefully, asserting Iran will exert all efforts to prevent any conflict in Syria. Maqdad welcomed Iran's efforts.
Any solution that leads to Turkey's retreat from Syrian territories, stopping its attacks on the country, and ending Turkey's support to terrorist groups is welcomed. We trust the Islamic Republic of Iran, but not the other side.
Maqdad reiterated Syria's determination to eliminate terrorism and thanked Iran for its support. He stressed that Israel must realize that Syria will not remain silent over Israeli aggressions.
The visit shows the depth of ties between the two allies and the crucial role Iran plays in the region, as it comes hours after an Israeli attack on Syria and amid speculations that Turkey is going to launch a military operation in the Arab country. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
On the sidelines of his visit to Damascus, Iran's foreign minister also sat down with leaders of Palestinian groups based in Syria. In that meeting, Hossein Amir Abdollahian emphasized Iran's capability to respond to the Israeli regime inside Tel Aviv.
We have responded to the Zionist regime right inside Tel Aviv whenever we have wanted to.
Amir Abdollahian said Tel Aviv's allegations that Tehran is seeking to target Israeli tourists in Turkey is nothing but a fabricated scenario. He also said that Palestine remains the most pressing issue of the Muslim world. The minister reiterated Tehran's unflinching support for Palestinians until the liberation of their homeland and establishment of the State of Palestine with Al-Quds as the capital. He regretted that certain regional countries are turning a blind eye to the issue of Palestine and getting closer to Israel to cover up their domestic problems. He said that is a betrayal of the cause of Palestine. It's been 15 years since Press TV was launched. The platform says it wants to be a voice for the voiceless and has tried to be an alternative for the vast and wealthy mainstream media corporations. 15 years on, Press TV is standing tall despite multiple attempts made to shut down the channel, be it online or on air.
To try to provide a different narrative against what is produced by the mainstream media is not an easy job. That's what Press TV has been trying to do all along. The coverage of issues like the Israeli regime's daily atrocities in the occupied Palestine, U.S. war crimes in countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, and the U.S.-backed Saudi war in Yemen, and the very fact that the hypocrisy on the part of the so-called mainstream media has brought Press TV on the wrong side of many people.
I think Press TV had a huge amount of success, certainly in the early years. Of course, they've faced a lot of pushback. Of course, the Zio Western media controls satellites. It controls a lot of the media output. So in more recent years, of course, there's been a tactic campaign, a concerted campaign, trying to stop Press TV being able to get as far as it could. YouTube have been involved. Many of the sat channels, which are run on by Murdoch over here in the West, also turned on them. But nonetheless, there is a real substantial audience of Press TV which is picking up those lives and then sharing it across social media.
Press TV has faced hardships and bans since the very first days of its launch. Perhaps the most notable of such bans was in June 2021 when the channel's web domain was seized by the United States. In fact, by shutting down Press TV, the U.S. decided for 1.4 billion English-speaking people on the planet that they can no longer watch and listen to news that goes against the U.S. narrative.
Press TV faces many bans on numerous occasions in the past years. Its Facebook page with over 4 million followers was arbitrarily removed. Its entire YouTube channel was deleted and banned from using Google services. And in 2012, it was taken off air in the UK by the country's media regulator, Ofcom.
But why is it that a platform like Press TV faces so many restrictions? A recent poll by the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism paints a grim picture for the mainstream media. Not only they are losing their viewership, but their viewers also trust them less.
Trust in news is also declining and is lowest in the United States. On average, 42% of people said they trust most news most of the time.
Such news is not good news for the mainstream media, of course. People tend to turn to other sources of information that offer a different narrative, such as Press TV.
So the reality is that the Western media has played an absolutely diabolical role in terms of its kind of balanced reporting on West Asia as a whole. So not only Palestine, but Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Iran, that whole region. Western media has essentially been part of the terrorism that has been wrought on the entire region by Western imperialist military forces. The media in the West has really ridden shotgun and supplemented psychological operations aspect of whatever they wanted to do in that region. What they want to do is obviously to subjugate the Yemenis, subjugate the Iraqis, subjugate everybody in that region to continue to maintain their hold on energy resources and various other geopolitical interests.
To get a glimpse of just how different Press TV is from other mainstream media, one can look at an open letter signed by more than 2,000 Canadian journalists last year about how biased their media is towards Israel.
Anyone who has worked in a Canadian newsroom has encountered the reluctance or resistance in covering Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories. Canadian style guides still ban the use of the word Palestine in their coverage.
After publishing the letter, some journalists even published another letter saying they fear retaliation over publicly discussing such matters. In a world where mainstream media even censors their own journalists for using the word Palestine, it is no wonder that a platform like Press TV has faced so many hurdles and bans.
Mr. Moving on, intense fighting is raging in eastern Ukraine, with Russia saying its forces are now in full control of Lysychansk. The city is Ukraine's last remaining stronghold in the Luhansk region. A short while earlier, the Russian Defense Ministry reported that its forces were fighting Ukrainian troops inside the city after capturing the surrounding villages. With Lysychansk in their hands, Russian troops will be able to move further into the Donbas region. Just last week, they captured Severodonetsk, another major city in the east. Meantime, in Russia's border city of Belgorod, three people have been killed and several others have been wounded in several blasts. So far, no reactions from Kiev. Moscow has cut gas exports to Italy by 15%. The Italian government has played down the consequences of Russia's decision, but there are serious concerns among people about surging energy prices.
The recent decision by Moscow to cut its gas supply to Rome by 15%, which was announced by fuel giant Eni earlier this week, did not catch the Mario Draghi's government off guard, albeit consumer confidence in Italy is at its lowest level in over 20 years. On Saturday, Italy's ecological transition minister Roberto Cingolani said he remains confident that filling underground gas storage to 90% by winter, a requirement recently adopted by the Council of the European Union to strengthen the bloc's energy security, is still a feasible target. However, Minister Cingolani argued he expects prices to further surge, particularly after a temporary closure of the Nord Stream pipeline for maintenance.
We are definitely concerned over our gas supplies. Having said that, underground gas storage on our territory has been filled to almost 60%. So, let me tell you, we are doing fine in that respect.
Italy is trying to wean itself off Russian gas, which currently accounts for 40% of total gas imports. That's while prices in the country were 8% higher in June than a year earlier, marking the highest one-month increase in prices since 1986. The energy crisis has been compounded by an unprecedented drought that is sweeping through Italy's northern and central regions. Experts have warned the drought will reduce the country's hydropower output by 60% by the end of this year.
The problems are multiple, and we will not only face the energy crunch and the water shortage, but also the financial turmoil that will inevitably hit the international markets. Let's sit tight, because a financial shock is on the way, and it will start from the US as usual.
Lately, Prime Minister Draghi has been facing problems protecting the government coalition that supports him. A rift has opened up with former Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. Also, former Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini has reportedly taken up arms against the executive. A government collapse at this very stage could have grave repercussions for Italy's social stability. Max Civili, Rome.
In other news, North Korea is expressing concern about the US, South Korea and Japan planning to build a military alliance similar to the NATO in the region. According to the Foreign Ministry spokesman, Washington's allegations about the threats coming from North Korea are nothing but an excuse to attain military supremacy over the Asia-Pacific. The official says that is why Pyongyang needs to urgently build up its defenses to cope with the rapidly worsening security situation. The leaders of the United States, South Korea, and Japan met on the sidelines of a NATO summit last week. At that meeting, they pledged to work together on an extended deterrence against North Korea. July the 3rd marks the anniversary of a deadly U.S. attack on an Iranian passenger plane. The U.S. shot down the airliner over the Persian Gulf after it took off from Bandar Abbas International Airport. All people on board the plane were killed in the tragic incident. More than three decades on, the U.S. has refused to acknowledge any wrongdoing.
The U.S. brought on one of the deadliest disasters in aviation history 33 years ago on July the 3rd by shooting down an Iranian passenger plane. Iraner Flight 655 was en route from Tehran to Dubai. It was on its usual path when it was shot down by the U.S. Navy's guided missile cruiser USS Vincennes, killing all 290 passengers and crew members on board. 66 children were also among the victims. The then U.S. administration claimed that the crew of USS Vincennes had identified the Iranian Airbus A300 as an attacking F-14 Tomcat fighter. Vincent was traversing the Strait of Hormuz inside Iranian territorial waters, and at the time of the attack, Iraner Flight 655 was within Iranian airspace. Tehran declared the incident an international crime. It said even if the warship crew had mistaken the Airbus for an F-14, the tragedy was the result of the U.S. Navy's negligence and reckless behavior. Iran took its case to the International Court of Justice, but the case was settled out of the court in 1996 when the U.S. agreed to pay compensation. Washington maintained that the compensation was not a legal duty and was only based on an ex gratia. Although U.S. officials claimed the attack was a mistake, they never apologized to the Iranian nation and even awarded USS Vincent's commander, Captain William Rogers. He was awarded the Legion of Merit decoration for what was described as exceptionally meritorious conduct in the performance of outstanding as the commanding officer of the Vincent's. The citation made no mention of killing innocent civilians on Iraner 655. When the matter was taken to the United Nations Security Council in July 1988, then the U.S. Vice President George H.W. Bush defended the Vincent's crew's action. He said, given the situation, the officers in question had acted appropriately. Bush noted, "I will never apologize for the United States. I don't care what the facts are." Succeeding American officials took the same approach. Over three decades on, still no justice for the victims of the one of the deadliest incidents in aviation history.
Well, that brings us to the end of this news bulletin. Thank you for joining us.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
radio. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 3rd, 2022. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL card or an electronic QSL card from us. So here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Najmuddin from Bangladesh, Francis Lawlor from Ireland, and Federico Correa from Italy. So, Najmuddin, Francis, and Federico, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And dear listeners, a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Here we've received an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Robens Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil has sent us an email. Najmuddin, who has sent us a reception report this time, has sent us an email from India, of course. Wu Xianan from China has sent us a message, an email. And from the Netherlands, one of our regular listeners, Rob Den Boer, has sent us an email. Stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with these emails. So here we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners called Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India. Let's see what Siddhartha says. Here, I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, calendar 2022, sticker, stamps, and other promotional material, which is available in order to represent your radio here in India. Be safe and fight against coronavirus. Hope all of your staff are safe. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India. And many thanks for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification confirmation to you. And regarding your request data about sending you program schedule or calendar or sticker stamps, generally, the promotional items of IRIB English Radio, you know, at the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners is not possible. Maybe after the pandemic is erased from around the world, we can send you the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. And regarding your wish about being safe against coronavirus, let me tell you good news. It's for some days that, actually for a month, that the rate of coronavirus death across Iran has become zero, and Iran does not have any victim from coronavirus anymore. And I can tell you for sure that the mortality rate of coronavirus in Iran has become zero, and there are just a few cases of this virus in Iran because almost all of Iranians have been vaccinated against this virus, and we are so happy that Iranian fellow people thank God, are safe and immune against coronavirus. Thank you for your wish. And here, I wish that all our listeners and all people around the world be safe against this virus, including in your country, India, and, around the world. So we wish you all the best, Siddhartha Bhattacharji. Please accept our electronic QSL card for the time being. And Robens Fras Pedroso from Brazil has sent us an email. Let's see what Robens says. Of course, Robens is one of our regular listeners. He says, "Dear friends, I have had the pleasure of listening to your station during its transmissions a few days ago in English. I'm living in Bandeirantes, Brazil. I am an agronomist and I have, I am 52 years old. I will be grateful if you send me a QSL verifying this reception report. That's to say, you please send me a letter or a card where you include a specification that I have really heard your station, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Robens Faraz Pedroso from Brazil. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Of course, we will send you an electronic QSL card as a verification for the email you sent to us. Write to us soon. And Robens, why don't you tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast? So, after a short break, I will be back with other great emails from around the world. And from China, we've received an email from Wu Xianun. Let's see what Wu says. "I am a radio listener in Shenzhen, China. I hope you can issue me a radio listening certificate card or QSL to prove my listening. I hope your station provides the listeners with a QSL card, schedule, flag, etc. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and of course, IRIB English Radio to you, Wu Xianun from China. We're so happy that the signals of our radio, of course, your radio, IRIB English Radio, are well received in Shenzhen, China. Thank you very much for sending us this message. Of course, we send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Yes, regarding your request about sending you schedule, our frequency schedule is available at our website at www.podcast.com. parstoday.com/en. Yes, there you can find our frequency schedule, but sending you any material at the time of pandemic around the world on behalf of IRIB English Radio is not possible. So for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card, Wu Xianan from China. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And again, from India, we've received an email from Najmuddin. Najmuddin says, to the Islamic Republic of Iran, broadcasting IRIB in English. Assalamu alaikum. Please find the reception report of me received here in Murshidabad, West Bengal, India. I heard a piece of Islamic music as well as my very favorite program, Listeners Special, in which listeners' letters, mail, and messages are read. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule, printed QSL card with some used postage stamps. Salam and warm greetings to you, Najmuddin from India. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Please accept our warm gratitudes and appreciations to you for sending us this email. So, the signals of IRIB English Radio are well received in Murshidabad, West Bengal, India, and that makes me so happy. So, your favorite program is Listeners Special, and that's great. My colleagues, of course, will send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation, and the frequency schedule is available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and sending any souvenir or material at the time of pandemic is not available. So, for the time being, please accept our, of course, electronic QSL card. Najmuddin from India. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back from Netherlands. We've received an email from Rob Den Boer, one of our regular listeners. Let's see what Rob says. To the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting English service, it's my pleasure to confirm your broadcast, and I hope my report is correct. My name is Rob Den Boer and live in the city of Heinoord in the Netherlands. Please listen to my audio recording attached, waiting for a reply from your side. Salam and warm greetings to you from IRIB English Radio and from the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank you very much for sending us this email, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. So you live in Heinoord in the Netherlands. I wish I'm right in pronouncing the name of the city you live. Because I don't know Dutch. Anyway, thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Yes, we received with honor your audio recording and we listened to it. Thank you for that. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And we wish you all the best. So before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I want to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Najmuddin from Bangladesh, Francis Lawlor from Ireland, Federico Gari, Korea from Italy, Siddhartha Bhattacharjee from India, Robin Sfratz Pedroso from Brazil, Wu Xianan from China, and Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Please write to us, you know, tell us your views about our broadcast, and keep in touch with us. Be safe and stay safe and healthy. We wish you all the best. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Nearly half of U.S. Republicans have said mass shooting incidents should be accepted as part of a free society. Following strict messaging guidelines, Republican politicians repeatedly claim mental health and security issues are to blame for mass shooting incidents in the U.S., not access to guns. We now present you an article written by Martin Pengelly. The piece is titled, Poll Finds Nearly Half of Republicans Think U.S. Has to Live with Mass Shootings. According to an opinion poll released in the aftermath of the Texas elementary school murders, and as politicians in Washington negotiate for gun reform, nearly half of Republican voters think the U.S. just has to live with mass shooting incidents. The CBS and YouGov opinion poll returned familiar results, including 62% support for a nationwide ban on semi-automatic rifles, the kind of gun used in Uvalde, Texas. 19 young children and 2 adults were killed at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas on 24th of May by an 18-year-old teenager who bought his weapon legally. But clear national support for a ban on such rifles or changes to purchasing ages and background checks is not mirrored in Congress. Most Republican politicians, supported financially by the powerful gun lobby, remain opposed to gun reform. In an effort fueled by horror at events in Uvalde, Texas, senators led by Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, elected after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting incident, which killed 26 in 2012, and John Cornyn, a Texas Republican, have expressed optimism that some changes may be possible. On Monday, 6th of June, Chris Murphy told NBC News, "Sometimes when we go away for a week, sensitive negotiations like this fall apart. This week, the opposite is happening, because my colleagues went home and heard the same thing I did. Parents are frightened to death." He said, "They're frightened to death for their kids, and they're frightened to death that government isn't going to be able to respond. The most fundamental concern the parents have, the safety of their children. I think senators are coming back to town today with a newfound resolve to get something done." Reporting on the Senate talks has largely focused on red flag laws designed to stop gun purchases by people deemed a potential danger to others or to themselves. In the CBS YouGov opinion poll, support for such laws ran at 72%. Senator Chris Murphy was asked, "Is this about incentivizing states to pass their own red flag laws or a federal one?" He said, "I actually don't think it will be a good idea to have a federal red flag law. I think it will be very inaccessible for local law enforcement to have to go to the federal court system. So I support the state laws. I think they need some guidance and some funding in order to implement these laws and make sure that everybody knows how to access them. A Senate reform package could also contain efforts to close loopholes in background checks." In the CBS YouGov opinion poll, support for federal background checks on all gun purchases ran at 81%. President Biden has called for an assault weapons ban, or at least raising the minimum age for purchases of guns. In the new opinion poll, 77% said the minimum age for buying an assault rifle should be higher than 18. 32% said it should be 21, and 45% said it should be over 25. Senator Chris Murphy said, "I think there's certainly Republican support for raising the age. I don't know whether there are 60 votes yet, and right now, my entire focus is on what can get 60 votes." But the new opinion poll's most telling evidence came when respondents were asked if mass shooting incidents were unfortunately something we have to accept as part of a free society, or something we can prevent and stop if we really tried. Among Democrats, 85% said mass shooting incidents could be stopped if US politicians would only try. Among independent voters, the figure was 73%. Overall, it was 72%. But 44% of Republicans said mass shooting incidents should be accepted as part of a free society. Following strict messaging guidelines, Republican politicians repeatedly claimed mental health and security issues are to blame for mass shooting incidents and not access to guns. Those who took part in the opinion poll were also asked, regardless of how you feel about the issue, how likely do you think it is that Congress will pass any laws in the next few months that will make significant changes to gun policy? Only 7% thought it was very likely that Congress would act, while a combined 69% thought it was not very likely or not at all likely. Some state governments have passed the so-called reforms. In New York City, on Monday, 6th of June, the state governor, Kathy Hochul, signed a package of laws including licensing measures for assault rifles and a minimum purchase age of 21, expanded red flag provisions, and a ban on sales of body armor. Kathy Hochul told reporters, "It just keeps happening. Shots ring out, flags come down, and nothing ever changes, except here in New York." However, the state is home to another politician whose fate starkly shows what can happen to Republicans who express openness to gun reform. On Friday, 3rd of June, the New York Congressman Chris Jacobs abandoned his bid for re-election after stoking fury by expressing support for a federal assault weapons ban. Congressman Chris Jacobs represents a suburb of Buffalo, New York, the city in which 10 people were shot dead at a supermarket on 14th of May in what authorities say was a racially motivated attack. Mass shooting incidents, widely defined as shootings in which 4 people, excluding the gunman, are held or killed, have continued since the Buffalo incident and the elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Recently, at a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a gunman killed 2 doctors, a receptionist, and a patient. According to the nonprofit Gun Violence Archive, the following weekend saw mass shooting incidents in Philadelphia, Chattanooga, South Carolina, Arizona, Texas, Georgia, New York, and Michigan. 15 people were killed and more than 60 others were wounded. The archive says there have been 246 mass shooting incidents in the United States in 2022, considerably more than one a day. On Sunday, 5th of June, Senator Chris Murphy claimed, "The possibility of success is better than ever before, but I think the consequences of failure for our entire democracy are more significant than ever." According to a new opinion poll, most Americans believe the new legislation aimed at reducing gun violence should be prioritized over protecting gun rights. The ABC Ipsos opinion poll, which comes in the wake of a deadly string of mass shooting incidents in the U.S., said 7 out of 10 people in the country prioritize laws reducing gun violence over gun rights. The opinion poll showed only 21%, or less than one-third of those interviewed, believe that gun rights should be a higher priority than reducing gun violence in the country. Most Democrats said lawmakers should prioritize laws focused on reducing gun violence, while about half of the Republican respondents said protecting the rights of gun owners is a higher priority. The opinion poll was conducted from 3rd to 4th of June as the country mourned those killed in multiple mass shooting incidents, including 10 people at a grocery store in New York, 21 at an elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. The political debate over gun control has been one of the most divisive issues in U.S. society for decades. The issue of gun control has culminated in a multi-million dollar lobbying campaign, congressional standoffs, and mass demonstrations for those for and against gun laws. The root of the debate is a single sentence in the U.S. Constitution, where the Second Amendment says, "A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed." A dispute on the interpretation of the Second Amendment separates the Democrats, who believe in stricter gun control laws, from the Republicans, who see any such legislation as an infringement of their gun rights.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam, This hadith is about the Khawarij, the apostates. If you're acquainted with Islamic history to a certain extent, you probably have heard that as Shias, we're of the belief that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the immediate successor and vicegerent of the Holy Prophet. And nevertheless, it's a fact that he attained the apparent caliphate after some time, certain people apparently took reins of the caliphate, and his apparent caliphate, it lasted approximately 5 years. The Imam was preoccupied during this time with a number of wars and battles. Some of these were battles that he conducted against the Khawarij, which was a group of people who were initially a part of the Imam's army when the Imam conducted a battle against the ruler of Syria, Muawiyah. Because of certain disagreements that these people had with the first Imam, they separated from his army and from his ranks, and they joined together in unity against him, and then, you know, this led to a battle that the Imam had with these people. So after the battle was finished and the Imam's army defeated these people, the Imam was walking past the slayed bodies of these Khawarij, these apostates, and looking at them, the Imam alayhi salam said the following: "How wretched you are, how wretched you are. The one who misled you has brought harm to you." The harm that has come to you, you're being slaughtered at my hands. All of this stems from the one who misled you. Somebody who was present there asked the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the following question: "Who has misled them, O commander of the faithful?" To this the Imam replied, "The deceptive Satan and the carnal soul," two things, both the external enemy, the Satan, and as well as the nafs-e-ammare, which is the soul which commands a human being to do evil. These two things, these two entities, have had misled these people. And the Imam says, by misleading them, it gave them a sense of security, a false sense of security. Or to be put it in better terms, these two things, these two entities, misled them by giving them a false sense of security, giving them a wide opening for disobedience, and promising them victory. Meaning, these two entities gave them a feeling of overconfidence that they could defeat Imam Ali in this battle, and then it pushed them towards the battle, and obviously this was a false sense of security. They weren't ready for it, and it led to their destruction and their downfall. Finally, the Imam says, but through them, they have plunged into the fire. Instead of becoming victorious, as these two beings promised, they ended up becoming defeated, and they fell into the hellfire and eternal damnation. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the apostates and the Khawarij in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli.